Sammy J on ABC Radio Melbourne.
Hello, Sammy J here, and on The Breakfast Show here on ABC Radio Melbourne, I'm regularly joined by maths whiz Adam Spencer to talk numbers, and today he combined his love of numbers with my love of chess.
25, of course, is 5 squared. I was going to jump from that to my favourite square is 8 squared. 8 eights are 64, because that's the number of squares on a chessboard, and I thought today I was going to get my mathematical nerd off by talking about the World Chess Championships that are about to start in Dubai.
Well, Adam Spencer, I give you a big tick to every single one of those logical steps. It is like two bodies but only one brain right now.
Do you shuffle pieces around the board yourself? Do you play a bit of chess, Sammy?
I love me some chess. I'm not great at chess, but I'm fairly good, and I'm still good enough to beat my 9-year-old, and when that day changes, it'll be a sad thing, but a proud day.
Well, it's an interesting one tonight, because perhaps over the next few days, the current world champion, the Norwegian prodigy Magnus Carlsen, has been number one in the world for 11 years, facing off against Jan Nepomachy, who we all just call Nepo, from Russia. We could see the balance go back to the brilliant Russians of decades gone past, though most people think Magnus Carlsen will probably hold on in this best of 14 chess showdown in the UAE.
Adam, do you follow this as closely as it sounds? Do you watch the games live, for example, or do you tend to catch up in the morning?
It's really interesting, because this format they'll be playing, called the classical format, is the slowest of all formats. You've got 2 hours each for your first 40 moves. Then you're given additional time for other moves. In the previous World Championship match, one of the matches went for 7 hours. So it's actually, to be honest, a little bit too long to sit there watching it live and enjoy. Though, little side note, back in the 1960s and 70s, they used to televise Grandmaster chess games in Russia 6 hours straight, just a single camera, no commentary. So that's old school. But when you get down to the sort of 15, 20-minute aside games that they'll play as a tiebreaker in this format if needed, those sort of things you can watch live, because they're happening at quite a steady pace. This thing, you probably prefer to drop in the next day and watch the edited highlights. Though you do see some, just the fact that these people, I understand the rules, I play a bit, but just to see these pieces shuffling at a level where someone's planning something for 6, 8, 10 moves ahead, and one of the very best players in the world falls for it, is just beautiful to watch.
I, as you know, talk myself down when it comes to maths all the time, and yet I am a lover of chess. Is that something of a reveal? Because chess is ultimately an entirely mathematical game, isn't it?
It's interesting. In theory, chess is a beautiful marriage of hardcore muscle memory, just brute calculation, but also creativity. At the really high, it's interesting. If you and I played a game of chess and they did an MRI on us as we played, we'd be about 80% calculation. If he does that, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. He does that, I'll only about 20% muscle memory. By the time you get to Grandmasters, it flicks around. It's 80% pattern recognition and memory, 20% calculation. And you'll hear they look back on a game, and this was the key move, and you'll hear the Grandmaster say, "I don't know why, I just knew that the knight had to go there," because they've seen tens of thousands of studies on the board they've looked at where that sort of position was captured. So it's this beautiful dance between brute force and creativity. These days, the younger grandmasters who've been brought up in worlds where they're on supercomputers play the end games almost computer-like. They just grind and grind, whereas in decades gone past, human frailty and tiredness would have taken over. It's fascinating to watch.
But in that, when you say pattern recognition and 80%, for example, is that based on their opponent's patterns they're trying to recognise, or are they also doing their own patterns? But of course, whilst you're doing a pattern, you need to try and make sure it's not too predictable.
Well, I mean, there are too many positions to count, almost, that you could just put pieces randomly on a chessboard. And if you and I played a game, it'd be such a poor standard. It'd probably be a game that's never been played in the history of chess before, those actual moves in that order, because there's so many possible moves and we'd be making so many bad moves. When you get to the very best players, they don't make bad moves. So a lot of the games follow very similar structures and themes. There'll be key squares where attacks are launched. There'll be a key hole you can put in your opponent's defense. That means that bishop can run down that diagonal. So a lot of these positions, they're just studied on computers. They just study tens of thousands of different puzzles, like a piano player just playing playing scales and playing scales and playing scales, because a very similar position, key pieces on key squares, might then arise in a match.
I'm chatting to Ambassador for Mathematics, Adam Spencer, on the subject of chess. I'm afraid, Adam, you've mistaken my lovable, foppish self-deprecation for actual lack of skills. If you and I were to play chess, mark my words, I would destroy you.
Would you really? How are you against the Scandinavian defence?
Oh, you know, I put the pawn two pieces forward to begin with, because that's an option.
Oh, we'll have to... Yeah, we'll bring it on, my little radio friend.
What's your favourite piece?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think the thing that makes chess beautiful is the knight and the way the knight moves. Everything else is pretty logical, that they go straight, they go diagonal, the queen does a bit of both. But the idea of the knight that can go two steps forward and then one to the side, that little L shape, and the number of times a knight will get you out of trouble, or you have to take into account just this completely bizarre... If the knight could only move two steps straight either way, chess would be just an incredibly different game. It's a beautifully bizarre move that just totally changes the dynamic of every piece on the board.
And you're baked into thinking of other pieces as blocking you, but of course the knight being the only one that can happily jump right over in the manner of a horse.
If you didn't have a piece that could jump over, it would totally change the game. The number of games that would just lock up and just get all clogged up and there would be no way through. But once your sneaky little knight's in behind, it can do all manner of damage.
I don't want to get too philosophical, but I will, because I trust you, Adam. I'm sure you'll agree that chess for me is life itself. You know, it's about ambitions. It's about the fact that pawns can ultimately become a very powerful piece if you stay true to your course. It's about redemption.
Absolutely. You can learn also that aggression, if you don't have the justification for it, will lead you undone. Just sitting there passively and waiting for someone to overplay their hand. And the idea that unless you're one of Jan Nepo or Magnus Carlsen, there's always someone better out there. And you can just get better and better and then finally play someone who just completely embarrassingly schools you. And if it's online, quite possibly some 9-year-old girl from India.
The three words I use the most when I'm talking to my 9-year-old girl and we're playing chess are check for danger.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time your opponent makes a move, ask, why did they do that? Why did they do that? What? And then, so there's a certain, you know, lack of hubris you have to acknowledge that your opponent also might have great plans. If you see a really good move they can make, you can't afford to go, oh, they won't see that. I hope they don't. But if you saw it, there's every chance they saw it. Leave your ego at the door and keep shuffling your pawns around, my friend.
If you have not played chess, listeners, I hope that listening to Adam Spencer's passion and me clinging to his coattails has inspired you to give it a shot. It is truly one of life's great joys. And Adam Spencer, you are truly one of this show's great joys. Bless you, Captain.
As always, Emmy. Checkmate.